You are about to hear a message on the subject, God's Family Package, by Evangelist Kenneth Schmidt. And now, Reverend Schmidt.
I know my wife's going to be pleased with this, but I don't know, are there any notes in there or anything? I met a couple ladies uptown in the restaurant. I don't know whether I should have them stand or not tonight. But they said I poured it on the women this morning a little bit. I didn't think I did any, but they were smiling when they said it. So it was all right. I thought maybe they'd write a note to my wife. And I, all right, thanks a lot. All right, 16th chapter of the book of Acts, 25th verse. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must we do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house." The 34th verse. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house. Let me read the 31st verse again and the 34th. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." And when he brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. How many are thankful the Lord's interested in our homes? Let's just give him a praise offering tonight and open our hearts and ask him to minister to us. Glory to God. Oh, Heavenly Father, we praise you tonight that you are here. And Lord, we come to you very humbly in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that thou minister to our hearts tonight. Oh, Lord, I pray that thou wilt touch the speaker's lips with a coal from off the altar, that he might minister as God would have him to minister. We invite the Holy Spirit into this service tonight. And Lord, increase our faith, we pray, so that we will believe that thou wilt not only save us, but save our entire house. And we'll be careful to give you the praise and the glory. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. I'd like to talk to you for a little while tonight on God's family package. God's family packages. You know, there's family rates, and there's family insurance rates, and the special household insurance, and all these many things that they have for the family in this great country that we live in. I am interested in the family. I'm interested in the family because, first of all, I'm a Christian. And next, I'm interested in the family because of the fact that I am an American citizen. And as the family, so goes the nation. Will you say amen? May I repeat that? As the family goes, so goes the nation. This nation can be no greater than the families that are in it. Amen. And today we have the great sarcoma of sin that's reaching its talons down into the family through the avenues of divorce and liquor and dope and trial marriage and liberalism until there's a dissolution of the American home. I'll tell you honestly tonight what I believe. I believe if the senators would take a little more time in being interested in the home as they are in the Watergate problem, we'd solve a lot more problems in this nation. If we had spent as many millions and millions of dollars showing the American people how to live in the home righteous as we are showing the Watergate situation, we'd have a revival in this nation. Amen. We need help in the American home. Now, it seems to me like the American home is operated on three separate systems. And every home here is operated on one of these systems. I'm not here to tell you what system you operate your home on, but you can judge for yourself. First of all, there's the conquering system, where the husband conquers the wife. I knew you'd be quiet on that. It doesn't happen very often. But when it does, if the husband is ever able to conquer the wife, she loses her personality and becomes a shrinking violet. And he becomes an egotistic, obnoxious egotist. My, how quiet you get. So I'm not through yet. And then there's that conquering system in the home where the wife conquers the husband. And if this happens, the home turns to a barracks. And she turns to a first sergeant. And the husband turns to a PFC. That means poor, feeble character. I heard one husband that happened to, and he was sitting there, and he said to his wife, she had just bawled him out and called him a fool, and he just looked at her and said, are all men fools? She said, no, there's some bachelors. You know. But this conquering system. I heard about a fellow that was having real trouble, you know. And so he went down to see a psychiatrist. And the psychiatrist looked at this little boy and said, I'll tell you what you need, fella. You need to exert yourself. Just exert yourself. Go home and you be the boss. B-O-S-S. And he gave him a pep talk, you know. So he went home, he walked up to the door and straightened himself up as tall as he could and went over in his mind what he was going to say, and he grabbed the doorknob and opened it and run inside and slammed the door. And his wife come running into the other room to see what all the commotion was about, you know. And there he stood. And he said, there's going to be some changes around here. I'm going to be B-O-S-S. And he said, you know something, lady? You know who's going to get my supper tonight? She said, no. He said, you are. He said, you know who's going to draw my bath after supper? She said, no. Said, you are. He said, do you know who's going to lay out my black suit so I can go out tonight? No. Said, you are. After I get the bath, you know who's going to dress me in that tux? She said, yes, the undertaker. You know. Listen, God never meant for wives to conquer husbands and husbands to conquer wives. God meant that the home should be a corporation. Amen. Incorporated in love. incorporated with unselfish feelings towards one another. The conquering system doesn't work. There's another system that we call the idolizing system. You know, some folks try to run the home like this. Oh, he's the king. I just idolize him. He's just the sweet king. And he says, oh, she's the queen. She's just the sweetest queen. You know, she says, oh, he's lover boy. Oh. And he says, and she's the queen bee. And sugar. And he goes around, sugar in the morning, sugar in the evening, sugar supper time. Be my little sugar and love me all the time. You know. Now that idolizing system doesn't work, because first thing you know, you're going to find a fault in the king, or you're going to find a fault in the queen, and then the whole thing crumbles. Now, don't misunderstand me. I married an angel. I really did. She's always up in the air harping on something. And she has nothing to wear. And fella, don't poke your wife, because she's the same way. See, it's just one of those things. But I got a lovely wife. But I tell you, the idolizing system would never work. No, no. It just can't work. It's impossible. Because first of all, God did not intend for you and I to idolize each other. He intended that we would love each other and worship God. And that's what we call the godly system. Where two people are in love with each other and they worship God together. When I stand up and to marry a couple, you know, I'll say, dearly beloved, we are gathered here in the sight of God and the face of this company to join together this man and woman in holy wedlock, which is commanded of St. Paul to be honorable among all men, and therefore is not by any to be entered into lightly, but reverently, discreetly, soberly, in the fear of God. These two persons present come now to be joined. If any person can show any just cause why they may not lawfully be joined together, let him now speak or forever hold his peace. And then I give him the vows, you know. And then after they've taken the vows, and I'll say, a vow has been taken by each of you when before God and man you made a solemn and deliberate promise that come what may, for rich or for poor, in sickness and health, you'll always be true and faithful to one another. You have now given yourself in an unselfish love. Love must always be unselfish. And unselfishness is the secret of a true, fruitful, loving marriage. That means separation from others and cleaving to yourselves, being one, sharing the mutual interest that you will have together. And thus you will learn to walk life's road together, making it a charmed walk of happiness and hope. But be it understood to you tonight that this marriage is more than taking of solemn vows. For it is only with the help of God you can be true to one another. The nearer you are to God, the nearer you will be to each other. That's the godly system, where you both try to get real close to God. And the closer you get to God, the closer you get to each other. And then you have a unit in the sight of God, with God's smile upon it. Some time ago, I was in the hospital. Young lady that was married. Was dying of cancer of the lung. And it was a sad case. It was really a sad case, honest. to see a young lady
die
of cancer. It, you know, you can understand older folks sometime that have lived their life and their span slipping out of this life this way, but a young lady, and she had a hold of her husband's hand, and I was there praying, and she called him by name and said, pray for me. She said, the pain is so intense, and you know, her breath was coming in gasps, and I knew that termination was right there. You could feel it, you know, and she just pulled his hand and said, pray for me. And he leaned over and he said, honey, I don't know how to talk to God. And she pulled in the pain. She pulled his hand and pulled herself right over against the wall. And she cried out, oh God, I married a man that don't even know how to talk to you. Died, laying over there against the wall, holding onto his hand. I want you to know something. Prayer in the home is an important factor. This old cliche that the home that prays together stays together is not just an old cliche, my friend. It's a truth. Many years as I've pastored, I've never had one broken home, not one broken home in my church where they prayed together. Not one. I worked with the district attorney for years. I never had one case in the district court, not one, where they prayed together. It's when you stop praying in the home, then your love towards one another grows cold. Amen. God looks at your home and my home as a unit. Over in the 68th chapter of the book of Psalms, it tells us, and I'd like to read that to you. In the sixth verse, God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains. Has always looked at the home with a family factor. Always. You go way back there in the book of Exodus. And when he was bringing them out, Israelites, out of the land of bondage to Canaan land, what did he tell them? You have a Bible there in the 12th chapter of the book of Exodus in the 3rd verse. He said, speak ye, and he's talking to Moses, speak ye to all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers. A lamb for a house.
For a continuation of Reverend Schmidt's message, turn the tape over.
It was a family factor. Not a lamb for a man, but a lamb for a woman. Not a lamb for a boy, not a lamb for a girl. A lamb for a house. Because God looks at the family as a unit. You're never in the sky, you're in the Jericho. Remember that story? They always got back and they jumped to the high house, the highest house. They said, hide it. They never took it. They said, I know. They came back, they didn't have to go to the ground. I know that. But I'm in the world too. And the Bible says that Joshua was with him, and what you see is that Joshua was with Joshua was, and this is what the most important thing is that he's in the same history, and Joshua saved Rahab, the harlot of life, and her father's household. And all that she had in his relative Israel, even up to this day. Oh, oh, God, look at him.
I just never, when you got Just by the telegraph, we're going to get the police. Oh,